Barry Bloom joins us of Forbes magazine, Forbes.com. I like this ballpark. You like it?
No.
Thank you very much. Barry Bloom is now in the house. When they built it, maybe it was a little bit too big.
Yeah, I think what they're the whole future for this is that, you know, they redid the whole lease agreement with Maricopa County as part of a settlement, and they can get out of here by 2025 now. So they're researching other venues and places in the city, in the county, to build another ballpark. And what they need to do is they need to go down to about a Miami Marlins size 38,000, yeah, with a nice roof as part of a ballpark district. And I think that's what they're researching now. I think the lifeline of this ballpark now is very short.
Yeah, it would work here. I like it here, but I agree with you. It's a little bit too big. Barry Bloom with us, Forbes magazine, Forbes.com. This Arizona Diamondback team, again, I think they have a direction. They signed Escobar. They made the big Goldschmidt trade. Adam Jones, of course, very late, and he's been terrific here for them. Marte is in, what, second and center. Peralta's here. You got Ahmed. You got Christian Walker. You got Avila, finally found his bat somewhere. Greinke has done well. And my point to you is this. When I watch them, they have a plan. And they seem to know what they're doing. Do you get the same feeling for Arizona Diamondbacks?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that from Mike Hazen, you know, through Torrey Lovello, you know, these guys came from Boston together. They know each other really well. They've got a very strong and efficient baseball operations department. They've got 20 analytics guys who are constantly crunching numbers. If you go down to the Diamondbacks dugout, there are iPads in the dugout with everything they need to know that they refer to all game. And you can use those in the dugout as long as they're not connected out of the dugout. So, you know, to me, they've been very good at replacing parts. I mean, when you think here, you know, Steven Sousa is out for the season with a knee injury. Patrick Corbin left for free agency. Goldie was traded, as you pointed out.
Pollock
gone, but he's out now again, so really no loss. But they had to really generate a different focus for their offense.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been able to do that because Marte's evolving. Ahmed's turning into a Golden Glove shortstop he can hit. And, you know, they're piecing together enough pitching just to make it work. You know, to me, I'm not sure that at some point as the injuries pile up, the trapdoor doesn't open for them at some point in the season. It's too early. And they were 20-8 last year, and they fell apart in September. So, to me, the jury's out on them.
Yeah, that's it. They're a story, and we'll see how the season plays out. But by May 18th, they're still a story. And they're doing fine, and I like what I see. They're hitting the ball really well, and that's where the Giants really at a disadvantage with them. They're not going to hit with them, and they've got to pitch with them, and maybe Bumgarner tonight can get that done. But for the Diamondbacks, they've scored 234 runs, 70 more runs than the Giants. That's a lot more runs.
But that's been the Giants' problem for several years now. I mean, last year they had the best pitching in the National League from July 1st on after Bumgarner came back, and they were scoring 2.5 runs a game. They can't generate runs anymore, which is really what Farhan needs to figure out.
Yeah, and plus the pitching ERA right now is 4.55, so that's gone up as well, and part of the reason for this 18-25 record. Looking at Arizona, looking at some of the good stories of baseball today, and I know you've been spending a lot of time in New York. Today, Tampa Bay beat the Yankees 2-1-11. Blake Snell and Tanaka. Last night, the Yankees come with an amazing comeback on Tampa Bay and hit the 99-mile-an-hour guy and beat him the night before. I think the Yankees won it the night before as well at Tampa Bay, or maybe that was Thursday night. But
they swept Baltimore in a doubleheader
on Wednesday, and then
they had the day off Thursday.
That's right. And Chapman had both saves
right
in that game. All right, so my point is this. Tampa Bay and the Yankees, it's a good baseball series this weekend.
Well, and Boston's playing Houston, so it's a huge American League weekend. And, you know, when you look at New York, there's focus on both the Mets and Yankees right now, and the Mets, who lost two in a row in Miami, really Mickey Callaway's on the hot seat. I mean, about a week ago, Jeff Wilpon called in his general manager, his manager, and read them the Riot Act, basically said it's got to straighten out. I think Callaway might be the first manager to get fired. And with the Yankees, I mean, they've done it with Ramirez. Guys have evolved. Urshela, who almost won the game again today with a ball that was caught at the fence. I mean, he's been, I think, the biggest find for them. And he's a guy they just picked up from Toronto. They purchased from Toronto last August. If you look around the Yankees, it's all who Cashman has gotten in deals and trades. There's really nothing that's come up at this point through their farm system to help them. It's all what he's done to put the team together.
Yeah, good baseball story. Minnesota's a good baseball story. In American League, Tampa Bay, I think we saw. Then we saw them both out here. Obviously, Tampa Bay, the Giants lost 2 of 3, and the Yankees swept the Giants when they were out here. But it made me think about it. I'll tell you another thing that I was thinking about. There was an article this week about batting average. Does anyone care about a batting average anymore? I made a big deal about Bellinger hitting over 400. He'd be the first Dodger to hit 400 this late in the season since maybe you and the Dixie Walker, you know, way back in the 40s. But does anybody care about batting average anymore?
You know, I agree with you. Of course, batting average is still important because it's an element of OPS and OPS plus. You know, the fact is that, and on base percentage, you know, you have to have hits and walks, and that's your on base percentage. So, I mean, you can't discount it completely, but because OPS and OPS plus are so much more dominant in the vernacular these days, I think batting average diminishes. And really, if somebody's hitting 240, but they have an OPS that's up around 800-900, you know, it's very satisfying in the way the game is being played with launch angles and exit velocity and uppercutting and hitting home runs and striking out.
Yeah, look at Dave Kingman or Joey Gallo. They give you those two names,
probably
just what you just described.
Right.
Low batting averages, high. Joey Gallo, I think, is the highest OPS in the American League.
Well, you know, Gary Sanchez for the Yankees is another one who bats about 200, and he hits home runs, knocks in runs. He looks god-awful most of the time at the plate, but he does what the Yankees need him to do.
So the 300 hitter. Now, is it a thing of the past, or we just don't think about it?
I don't think it's a complete thing of the past. And when you look at it and you see Urshela batting 350, you know, a lot of those hits are winning games. I don't think you can discount it completely. I just think it's a completely different game with the shifts, especially. The shifts lower batting averages.
Yeah.
Because you're plugging holes where guys have a tendency to hit. And in the old days, when you played straight up, those would be base hits. You'd have a higher batting average. So all of this contributes to where we are on this stuff.
Yeah, and fly balls, trying to hit more fly balls that are caught in the outfield. Interesting part of baseball, Barry Bloom with us. I don't know, these things I think about every once in a while, and it just the batting average thing just hit me all of a sudden. I said, I don't even know who's leading the league in hitting. That's why I saw Bellinger today. I got excited, 404, and I didn't even know that until I looked at it today.
Well, I mean, he hit, I think, 400 for the whole month of April. So, I mean, this isn't something that hasn't been out there. He's had a terrific start to the season in all phases.
Yeah, but they're talking homers and RBI. They're not talking his batting average until now, the 400. So that's my point with that. You are an expert on the San Diego Padres on Twitter. You are the king of Twitter on the San Diego Padres. I know you get a lot of feedback from the fans who follow you. But what's going on? Kinsler had an outburst with the fans the other day, got a big fine because of it. Paddock looks like the real deal. Their pitching rotation is sort of coming back to earth a little bit. They have the Pirates today, and the Pirates are going to have another opener today, and Mark Jovetic is pitching for San Diego. What's up with the Padres?
Well, I think the big thing is, that Tatis hasn't played for them for something like 3 weeks, and it started as a hamstring injury day-to-day. They put him on the disabled list, didn't say it was going to be too long, and then it's just been protracted. And, you know, to me, as much as I love the guy, and I think he's a terrific talent, in the last year came out of spring training last year with a stomach ailment, and he batted below 200 at Double-A last year. Then when he started getting going, he dislocated his thumb, sliding into second base, and missed the rest of the season. Now he started off really well this year. He's batting, talk about batting average. I mean, he's not blasting the ball away, but it just gives them an element in the way he plays short with Machado at third that they don't have. And he, and it, to me, he's a five-tool player with his, the best of the tools is his speed. I mean, I haven't seen anybody go first to third, first to home with that kind of speed since Deion Sanders. So, I mean, they're playing without him, and now they're pretty much close to being back to 500 because of it. And I think, you know, with the pitching, as you pointed out, you know, Paddock and Strom and, you know, Marchevicius and they're all
Lauer
and Lucchesi, the only guys who came into the season with any sort of big league experience. And that was like 20 starts each. The rest of these guys never pitched above double A. And eventually you're going to see it because they have pitch counts on these guys. They don't go past the fifth or sixth inning, and they're burning out the bullpen.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not a recipe for long-term winning, but I think it puts them in a position where their building blocks are solid and they can move forward for the future.
What happened to Kinsler? What was that all about?
Well, you know, again, my friends on Padre Twitter and in the stands have been making his life miserable because, and he was batting under 200, and he's got pretty thin skin, obviously. And so when he hit the three-run homer the other night that won the game for the Padres,
he came
around home plate.
Obscene gesture and all that.
Yeah, obscene gestures, screaming at the fans and cursing at the fans. Apparently, as the story rounds out, he goes back down on the field and he's cursing at the fans behind the infield, down the right field line. So there, all these stories are coming out. And, you know, it's just in a place where you're trying to build a fan base. You don't want one of your guys to be ripping the fans.
Well, here we go.
Right.
Another story of baseball. This is Armed Forces Day as we hear the national anthem being practiced in the background. Well, we'll see. Giants, it's Bumgarner. Every time he goes out, people are watching.
Sure. I mean, I don't know what you think, but I think he's gone by the trade deadline. I mean, to me, he's such a chip that they should be able to get, you know, he's right up Farhan's alley where he should be able to get, you know, three or four really decent minor leaguers to help beef up the system.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, if the case would be that they'd want to sign him back, they could still sign him back as a free agent, but I don't see them doing that. You know, I think they got what they wanted out of him. We were down on the field yesterday. You were down there, and I was talking with Pablo, and Bum was standing right nearby, and we were kidding, and I looked at him, and I go, here's the last out of the 2014 World Series standing right in front of me. You know, it was an amazing run that this team had, and I think you have to remember that and keep it in perspective in the fact that era is now ending and a new one has to begin.
Well, as I said, it's a four-month season, and as Bochy said last night, you've got to weather the storm and just see where it's going to go, and that's baseball for the Giants in 2019, and just see what comes out of it, because something will come out. I'll guarantee you this, July 31st, there will be major action around the Giants.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think the only issue here is, and I talked to Buster about this after the game too, and I'm going to write a column about Bochy's future, but, you know, because of the predicate of the last 2 years, there doesn't seem to be any reason to believe that this thing is going to, like, be any different as time goes on this year until you start making changes, right?
We'll see. We'll see. People are waving at me. All right. All right. Nice to have you. Forbes.com, Forbes Magazine, Barry Bloom. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Barry.
Always great to be on. Thanks.
All right. More coming up. KMBR 680, the sports leader.